Very often in the words, the actions of the prophet Jeremiah, he works through what we might call these different prophetic actions. So more than just words, more than just oracles, he does something and then shows himself to the people and then says, this is just this, what this looks like, what this is, that's what God is going to make happen. So he does something very tangible. So just before this part that we hear today, he's had this message from the Lord, and the Lord says, okay, take a yoke, right? Like you would put on a team of oxen that's going to plow the fields. Take on that heavy yoke, and then go into the court of the king and say, okay, this, you see how I am wearing this yoke, like I'm a simple beast of the field? That is what's going to happen to the people. And in fact, God desires this to happen to the people, that all people are going to serve this king Nebuchadnezzar. He says, if you try and fight against this yoke, then you will be destroyed. But if you submit to the yoke of this foreign king, then you will be spared. Of course, it's not a message that plays very well in Jerusalem. It's not a thing that anybody wants to hear. It's not a thing that the rulers or the people want to hear. And so what we see this morning is that they have sort of a competing prophet, right? So Jeremiah is there again in that presence with this yoke. It says, okay, this is what's going to happen. We have to submit with this yoke on ourselves to this foreign king. And Hananiah says, no, that's not what God says at all. God says he's going to break every single yoke. God said he's going to return all the captives. He's going to return all of the treasures, that we will always remain this free and independent people, and that he will raise us up and lift us up. And Jeremiah says, look, I hope that all that you have said comes true. I hope that everything that you have said comes to pass. But that's not the word of the Lord that has come to me. And Hananiah comes over and he takes the yoke off Jeremiah's shoulders and he breaks it. He says, again, I say to you, whatever you are thinking that God has said is wrong, is stupid, is not going to come to pass. God is going to break this yoke. He's going to give us this freedom. And so Jeremiah returns to the Lord, and the Lord gives him that message. Now, because you have done this, it's going to be even more severe, because you have not listened to the prophets, simply because they have told you something that you do not want to hear. It's always the challenge with prophecy. It's always the challenge of the gospel, frankly, that Jesus tells us something that is challenging for us, that is difficult for us. So that always ought to be kind of a key for us. If there's something that we hear that always confirms everything that we already believe, that makes us feel like everything that we are doing is fine, then we want to say, okay, but where's the challenge of the gospel coming in here? Where's the challenge of following God coming in here? When we hear something that might seem difficult for us to do, might seem difficult of an ask from God for us, oftentimes there is going to be more truth. Sometimes the things that seem more difficult, those are precisely the things where God is guiding us. He's not telling us it's going to be easy and simple and you'll never have to change and nothing will ever be different. He says, I'm proposing something to you that will be hard, but it will be hard for you so that you precisely can learn that it is not from you, but that it is from me. You are not the ones who will accomplish this, I will. We see some of that in the gospel passage itself, right? All they have is the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and they say, well, it's not possible. We couldn't possibly feed all of this crowd. That thing that you ask of us is too difficult. It's something that just simply cannot happen. He says, okay, watch this. Just bring me what you have. Bring me what you have. And then all of a sudden, there is enough and more than enough, because it is God who has done the work. It is God who has given the increase, not by our own labors. We have a part to play in it, but it's not because of the disciples, not because they accomplished all of this, not because the crowd there accomplished all of this, but because God accomplished this wonderful thing. So again, it's a reminder for us. When we come to moments in life where we feel like God might be asking something difficult from us, that's oftentimes a thing that we want to explore more in prayer and say, okay, Lord, if this is what you're asking from me, you are going to have to be the one to do it, because I don't have the strength to. I don't have the ability to. And God will say, yeah, no problem. I will do that as long as you will cooperate. But when we say, no, Lord, you know, I think I have this, and that would make me too uncomfortable, and that would be too difficult or too challenging, okay, then we've chosen to follow a false prophet. We've chosen to follow something that sounds better to us rather than the truth of what God is asking. So we receive this Eucharist today. We think about what it is that God might be calling us to do, and we recognize that in this sacrament, he gives us his courage. He gives us his strength to be open to him so that he will be the one who accomplish his works through us. That's why his very life, his very body, blood, soul, and divinity comes into us in this sacrament so that he will be the one who accomplishes his will. Not us, and to us certainly not the glory, but always to him.